Hello everybody and welcome back to another episode of the Five Red Lights Formula One podcast, a podcast focusing on all things F1 and, you know, sometimes other things as well. Please don't forget to rate this podcast where available and be sure to follow our social media at Five Red Lights Podcast on Instagram and at Five Red Lights F1 on Twitter. In this episode, I'm going to be reviewing this weekend's Austrian Grand Prix, of course, at the Red Bull Ring. Now, of course, let's start off by talking about qualifying. I think most people who are F1 fans rather than Mercedes fans were very happy to see Verstappen put it on pole. It was kind of expected from the practice sessions and also the fact he put it on pole last weekend quite comfortably. However, the biggest surprise of qualifying was Lando Norris sticking his little orange McLaren in P2. Now, I certainly didn't think McLaren were going to be able to do that, especially considering the Mercedes looked slightly faster than they had the week before. Perez never looks particularly great in quali for Red Bull. I mean, he's much better in the race, but especially with the two Mercedes, I just never in a million years expected him to get it on the front row. It's McLaren's first front row since 2012. Like, that's not even something you'd consider. Of course, he did get a bit of help from Verstappen's toe or something, but if you watch his lap, it's fucking phenomenal. He makes like no mistakes. And then he was actually ahead of Verstappen until the final corner, which is just ridiculous. So either Verstappen's that McLaren is just seriously fast when it wants to be, and obviously in the hands of the right person, because the other McLaren qualified 13th, which is obviously nothing to write home about. But it's still quality to see the McLaren manage to get P2 on a normal circuit. Obviously, the Ferraris got poles, but they were around Monaco and Azerbaijan, which don't really count as representative for the rest of the season. However, the P2 in quali at Austria is, it's a statement. Moving on to the other teams, fairly disappointing quali from Mercedes, who were fastest in practice two, only managing to qualify fourth and fifth. Hamilton, the lead Mercedes, of course. It's really weird to see these last two weekends. Mercedes just seem to have accepted that they don't have the car to challenge. Like, they give up. I've never seen Mercedes give up a win or a pole position, and they just seem to have they don't think they can get it, which is really weird to see. AlphaTauri had a good quali session, 6th and 7th. Tsunoda managed to complete a lapping quali this weekend, which is good for him. But I think the greatest surprise of qualifying was George Russell managing to put it in 9th. Not only did he get it into Q3, he wasn't the slowest car in Q3, which is ridiculous. He was 0.02 of a second faster than Lance Stroll, which, you know, Norris was only bloody 0.05 off pole, but just the Williams to be P9 in quali, considering where it was two years ago, is great. And I mean, the other Williams only qualified 18th, of course, but Nicholas Latifi is no George Russell, let's be honest. But hopefully they can find this form at a few other tracks this year, and, you know, it might lead to them chancing into some points. Of course, Ferrari and Daniel Ricciardo had an absolutely stinking qualifying. Neither Ferrari got into Q3, Ricciardo only 13th. Alonso qualified 14th, however, his lap was ruined by Vettel, for which Vettel was penalised. 3-place grid penalty, I believe. Ocon 17th for the second race in a row is just ridiculous. He signed his new Alpine contract and he's just decided that he doesn't want to go fast anymore. He's like, right, job done, see you in a year. I don't really understand where his lack of pace is, and to only out qualify one Williams and the two Haases in an Alpine is, it's not a slow car. He needs to be doing better than that. Hopefully he finds a bit of form in Silverstone in 2 weeks' time. However, you know, if I was Ocon, I'd be scratching my head and be a bit worried. But anyway, let's move on to the race. Now, in terms of the fight for the lead, it was over by the second corner, and it was pretty boring. Like, Verstappen won by 17 seconds, and that was with a late pit stop for some hard tyres, which I guess they just did out of precaution or because they could, or for fastest lap or for something, I don't know. Either way, they could do it, so they did it. So Verstappen obviously won, Bottas second, Lando third. Now, what is, I think, even more remarkable than Verstappen beating Bottas by 17 seconds, because after last weekend that was almost to be expected. Lando only finished 2 seconds behind the Mercedes, which is just, I don't know, like, they've put some sort of rocket fuel in that McLaren or something. Like, the pace was amazing, and he overtook Hamilton. Well, kind of. It's just quality to see a McLaren have the ability to overtake a Mercedes on track. And, like, yes, Hamilton was damaged. However, Lando was arguably closing on Bottas and then just dropped off towards the end, either because of tyres or because they were just happy with third and, like, it wasn't worth risking it. But even then, Lando finished 2 seconds, or like just over 2 seconds, behind Bottas. And we will talk about this more later, but without his bullshit penalty for allegedly forcing Perez off the track, Norris is finishing second in a McLaren ahead of both Mercedes and the Red Bull. And obviously, Perez's crap race was entirely self-inflicted, but it's still an absolutely stellar weekend from McLaren. Well, one half of the McLaren garage anyway. Ricciardo, like, yes, he did well to climb back up the order, but personally, I don't think he should be having to do that. He should be doing it on a Saturday. Now, obviously, Mercedes, they just had a very Red Bull of old type weekend. Like, they just couldn't challenge for the win. They were trying to maximise podium positions, which they couldn't even hold off a McLaren for. So definitely a weekend to forget. They're even further behind in both championships. Remarkably, Norris is still ahead of Bottas in the Drivers' Championship. How many races in are we? Seven? No, more than seven races in. This was the 10th race of the year. Yeah, 10th. It's Lando, considering people didn't rate him as, like, future world championship material compared to George, Charles, who else? I'm forgetting someone. Max. He's showing them wrong, and Jeremy Clarkson thinks so as well. He tweeted, "Does anyone else think Lando Norris is the real deal?" And Zach Brown would agree with him. But anyway, it's just, personally, I'm very happy to see it. Ferrari, you know, one Ferrari finished fifth, one Ferrari finished eighth. I think Leclerc started to get a bit frustrated. He made a few risky moves around the outside of Perez, which resulted in multiple Perez penalties. But at the end of the day, didn't stop Perez finishing up the road from Leclerc. Sainz was in a different strategy. He did well. He managed to get past Ricciardo and Perez right towards the end. It's hard because the Ferraris are such a horrible quality, and then they recover in the race. It's like, the cars just doesn't seem to be there all the time, and I wish it would be. But speaking of people who had a good quality and the race didn't go quite to plan, after qualifying really well, like, where did they qualify, just to check? 6th and 7th, Gasly and Tsunoda. The AlphaTauris in the race just seemed to slip back. Gasly finished 9th, so he managed to hold on to some points. But Tsunoda, man, 2 5-second penalties for crossing the white line going into the pits is ridiculous. That's like, I can't remember the last time I saw someone get a penalty for that, let alone twice in a race. Like, if you've done it once and you've been given a penalty for it, you remember to stay on the right side of the line, don't you? But whatever. Just going back a bit, the fight between McLaren and Ferrari for third in the championship is probably going to get a bit spicy later on in the season. I mean, if Ferrari can sort out just their general Saturday, well, no, because Ferrari have had some good qualities recently. I don't know, the Ferrari just seems to be a little bit behind McLaren. There's no way the Ferrari puts itself P2 on a normal track. But with Ricciardo qualifying so poorly every weekend, there is a genuine chance for Ferrari to chance themselves into third in the constructors. So that's definitely going to be the main battle going forward, because I think the Red Bull battle with Mercedes is pretty much written off if Red Bull have a few more weekends like they've had recently. But moving slightly down the order, what was heartbreaking to see was to see George Russell lose his first points for Williams 3 laps from the end. The fight with Alonso, and if you're listening to this, I'm hoping you watched the race, otherwise this is a late spoiler warning, but the fight was absolutely quality. He held him off for like 8 laps or something ridiculous. Of course, like, the Williams has improved so much. They barely missed Q3 last weekend. They got into Q3 this weekend. Russell was, well, he had a horrible start, managed to get his way back up into the points and only lost it right at the end. I would be extremely surprised if he doesn't score points at a race quite soon. Maybe not at Silverstone, maybe in Hungary or something like that later on in the season, but I would be extremely, extremely surprised if he didn't do it. Moving on down the order, Tsunoda finished 12th behind Russell in 11th. Obviously, Tsunoda just had a weird race. He qualified well, then decided that he was just going to ignore the white lines on the pit entry and get 2 5-second penalties for the exact same thing. Crofty couldn't actually believe it had happened, and Doresta was just like, what is going on? That's just, you know, he needs to forget about that. Luckily, Verstappen won, so he'd have been in a good mood, but I imagine after the race, Tsunoda had a very awkward phone call with Helmut Marko about that. Stroll, 13th, just not great from Aston Martin. Vettel DNF'd in 17th because he got punted by Raikkonen. I'm not entirely sure what happened. I just remember seeing Verstappen cross the line and then yellow flags in sector 2, and I was like, oh bugger, what's happened here? And then we saw a replay of Raikkonen just spearing Vettel off the track. So, look, just, I genuinely do not know. What's funnier about that, though, is that Vettel DNF'd, but he still finished above the two Haases. Of course, Schumacher was the leading Haas, because, as we have learned this weekend, a wonky Haas is faster than a heavy Haas. But, you know, I don't even know why I bother mentioning Haas. They're just a write-off until next year, and hopefully they have something out of there. They pull something out of their sleeve next year. Alfa Romeo, as I say in every single podcast, every single week, they just love to finish 14th, 15th, anywhere from 15th to 11th. They don't like points, but they also don't... it's frustrating because there could be some up-and-coming... Like, Callum Ilott arguably should be in that car, and instead they've got 35-year-old Ferrari junior Giovinazzi, who, let's be real, never gonna drive for Ferrari. Apparently he's quite good technically and he helps with the car, but still, I'd much rather have someone else in that car. And Raikkonen, who he's just there for the fuck of it, isn't he? It's a hobby for him. So I don't, until they shake up their driver lineup, I can't see Alfa Romeo particularly challenging for points. They'll be helped, I don't know, they look good in testing, but that's testing, isn't it? It's just not good. Just not good at all. One of the biggest talking points about the weekend was the willy-nilliness, the willingness, the over-enthusiasm with which the stewards were handing out 5-second penalties, it seemed. And the problem is, they dug themselves into a hole. They gave Norris a penalty for that incident with Perez, which even Christian Horner has said was a racing incident. That should never have been penalised. Without it, it'd have finished second. I'm entirely certain of that. So then when Perez did a similar thing later on in the race to Leclerc, he had to have two 5-second penalties. And, you know, people watch F1 for the action, for the drivers fighting each other. And if drivers getting their elbows out results in 5-second penalties, then, you know, what's the point in watching? It's just not fun. They need to... Norris's was never a penalty. Perez's, I think, were a bit more dodgy, but still, I'd much rather there'd be no penalty there. Obviously, Charles was fuming, but in another situation, Tars would have done the exact same thing. It's just obviously the drivers are fuming when they're on the receiving end of it. But I don't think a penalty should be given out in any of those situations. And, you know, the drivers say, let us race. The FIA go, okay, we'll let you race. And then they race and they give them a penalty. So it's just a bit of a mess. I hope we don't have anything like it at Silverstone, because it did take away a bit, especially Norris getting that 5-second penalty. You're just kind of like, what is going on? And it took him a while to give him it. Like, I thought he got away with it, and then a few laps later they gave him the penalty. He got a 5-second penalty and overtaken by Hamilton in the same lap, which is just rather unfortunate. Of course, Tsunoda's penalty and Raikkonen's penalty were deserved, and a few drivers were penalised for ignoring double waved yellows, and I fully support penalties where they're putting other drivers in danger with things like that. But realistically, Norris forcing Perez onto the gravel is not putting Perez in a great deal of danger. It's not dangerous driving, it's hard racing, and there's a fine line, there's a difference, but there is certainly a difference. And even more for this weekend, Perez and Norris are now on 12 super license, no, 10 points each on their license, which technically means they're one incident off a race ban. However, they should be okay, because I think two of those points get knocked off for them both before Silverstone. So, you know, close to a race ban, but they won't get one, luckily. Not related to the race, but also in the news, Domenicali said that they'd had, I can't remember what the word he said, he was, maybe it was productive, they had productive talks about the new engine formulas from 2025. And, well, Toto Wolff came out and said there'll be a drastically increased electrical component. However, there just still seem to be a commitment to internal combustion, which is good, because this isn't Formula E. There was some discussion about biofuels, and, you know, the issue with biofuels is that, well, they don't necessarily pollute the environment to the same level as fossil fuels. You know, having acres upon acres of crops that are being turned into fuel takes acres away from growing food and things like that. So yeah, it's not perfect. And so Toto said there's going to be a increased electrical component, and Christian Horner came out and said, well, we need to be careful, the engine still needs to be exciting. And obviously everyone's like, bring back V10s, we want loudness, but people just have to accept we're never going back to V10 loudness. But you know, they can still be reasonably entertaining. So I think obviously we've got V6s now. In 2012, 2013, there were discussions about V4 engines. Personally, they have to change the engine formula somehow. I don't see how they stick with V6s. So, obviously, we're never going to go back to true V8 V10s. Maybe they could go up to like a V8 with a more electrical component. Going down to a V4 would just be like a bloody lawnmower engine. It'd sound crap. I'd much rather, it almost sound as bad as the Formula E engines do, and you know, that noise sticks in your head for hours after a race. It's definitely high pitched. So that is definitely a conversation to look out for. The last thing I want to say, which I'll mention again in my Silverstone preview, there are rumours that, and if you looked at Bottas's and Toto's reaction to Bottas's podium, you know, I won't be entirely surprised. There are rumours that George Russell is going to be announced as the next Mercedes driver at the Silverstone Grand Prix. I personally can't see it happening. I don't think that Mercedes would announce it mid-season, because they're in a title fight and they need Bottas to be on top game. And also Bottas, for a while in Austria, went along with team orders not attacking Hamilton, and I don't think he would have done that, and I don't think Mercedes would have done that if Bottas was, you know, already been dropped behind the scenes. But then again, they did reverse that team order a few laps later and let Bottas take Hamilton. So, you know, consider it, but I don't think it'll happen. So overall, Verstappen just had a dominant weekend. I think that was his first Grand Slam. I'm not sure. Fastest lap, led every lap, pole position, won the race, etc. It was quality. It was never in doubt. I think from about halfway around the first lap, you knew it was going to win. Not taking anything away from the win, Lando Norris was still definitely my most impressive driver of this weekend, just doing what he's doing in his car, while Daniel Ricciardo, who many people listed in the past as one of the best drivers on the grid, is properly struggling. Obviously Lando's had longer in the car, but with Daniel's experience, etc, etc, you'd think he'd be closer, especially on a Saturday. So yeah, Lando definitely most impressive this weekend. Anyway, thanks for listening to this review, or summary, or whatever you want to call it, of the Austrian Grand Prix. There will be an episode released on Friday. I think I'm going to do it about the new Russian Grand Prix from 2022 at Agora Drive in St. Petersburg, because that is, well, it's interesting, and they're making modifications to the track. But if you enjoyed, or if you didn't, you know, even to give me abuse, give it a rate where possible. Don't forget to follow the social media at Five Red Lights Podcast on Instagram and at Five Red Lights F1 on Twitter. Cheers again, and I'll see you on Friday.